Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for January 12th, 2007. This week, we'll answer a listener's question about whether it's possible to have identical triplets and learn about a laser that's helping to monitor the chemistry of the atmosphere. We'll also tell San Francisco area listeners how they can meet the Science Update team in person and get a free Science Update mug. But first, Chelsea Wald has this report on new technology that's helping scientists understand the origin of life.
Before there was life, there was just the sea, the air, and minerals. Scientists think the first steps toward life must have taken place when a few types of molecules from the sea and the air collected on a few types of minerals. Well, now mineralogist Robert Hazen and his colleagues at the Carnegie Institution of Washington are looking for those perfect combinations. They do it by dotting a microscopic array of nearly 100 different molecules on small mineral plates. They then try to wash them off.
When we see certain molecules are sticking to a mineral surface, it means those molecules are pulled out of solution, they're concentrated, and they're poised to go through much more elaborate chemistry, the chemistry that would lead from simplicity to life.
A process that, on Earth, happened nearly 4 billion years ago.
Thanks, Chelsea. We have more Earth science news. Thanks to a massive international effort, the atmosphere's damaged ozone layer is just starting to heal. Now, scientists have a better way to check up on it. Physicist Eric Muller of Coherent has helped develop a laser-enhanced satellite system for measuring an atmospheric chemical called OH. Muller explains that OH is not only a key marker of the ozone layer's health, it's also useful for validating scientific models of the whole atmosphere.
It turns out that how good the model is at predicting OH tells you a lot about how good the model is at predicting all kinds of other things.
And having reliable models will be critical in deciding how to respond to complex phenomena like global warming. Next, Justin tells us why cannibalism is in everyone's blood.
Killer T cells aren't called killer for nothing. They're a kind of white blood cell that hunts down other cells in our bodies that are infected with viruses and rips them apart. But now, immunologists Mark Slifka and Carol Beedling at Oregon Health and Science University have shown that the killer T cells take it a step further and cannibalize their prey. They proved it by coating infected cells in a test tube with a green dye.
And when we threw the killer T cells in there and they recognized these infected counterparts, not only did they kill those cells, but they then started to turn green. And this is how we realized that they were eating the surfaces off of these other cells. And the question is, why would they do that? Well, no one really knows for sure, but one hypothesis is that this is a way to recycle cellular components. The T cell can use these while continuing to multiply and fight off the infection.
The work was funded by the National Institutes of Health. Slifka says scientists could use the knowledge to test the efficacy of new vaccines, or perhaps even to improve them by learning why some infected cells seem to be more appetizing than others.
Thanks, Justin. By studying bleary-eyed fruit flies, scientists at Washington University in St. Louis have found a possible chemical test for sleepiness. The work began by looking at sleep-deprived flies kept awake with caffeine. The flies had 5 times more of the chemical amylase in their saliva than well-rested flies did. The team then looked at sleep-deprived human volunteers and found that their amylase levels were heightened too. The research could lead to a spit test for sleepiness, useful for truckers, forklift operators, or surgeons who are working when they should be napping. In other sleep research, researchers in Germany report that electrically stimulating the brain during certain periods of sleep can help people learn better. The research is in its early stages, though, so it may be some time before we'll see anything like an electric smart pillow. Finally, genetically identical twins are relatively rare. They're only about 1/3 of all twins. But what about identical triplets? Are they even possible? One listener wanted to know.
That's right. Inquiring mind Michael Michelo of Washington, D.C. asked us if it's possible to have identical triplets. We turn to clinical geneticist Carol Green of the University of Maryland Medical Center.
Yes, in the same way that there are identical twins, we can have identical triplets. Once you have fertilization, we have what we call a zygote, and if the zygote splits, you can have 2 identical individuals, and that would be identical twins. And if there's another split, then you could have identical triplets.
As you can imagine, this is very rare. According to one estimate, only about 150 sets of identical triplets are born in the United States each year. If you have a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or submit it at scienceupdate.com. If we use it on the air, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Chelsea. Remember, if you're in the San Francisco area, mark your calendars for AAAS Family Science Days in the San Francisco Hilton on February 17th and 18th. Chelsea and I will be there from 11 to noon asking for your feedback on the show and passing out free Science Update mugs to podcast listeners. To get a free mug, you must use the password WhyIsIt, preferably whispered conspiratorially. And you'll not only get to meet us, you'll also get to meet other sciencey people, like the hosts of the popular show MythBusters. You can learn more about Family Science Days and the AAAS annual meeting at AAAS.org. Hope to see you there. Well, that's all for now. Next time, we'll talk about cows that have been genetically engineered against mad cow disease and answer a listener's question about the benefits of blood donation. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.